Well, I have an unusual title tonight. Pastor Nancy and I were talking, and by the way, she did such an excellent job last Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you should go back and listen to that. You are stronger than you think and braver than you feel. Amen. So good. And as I was listening to that, actually just some things that she was sharing kind of went off in my heart as well. But the Lord deals with kind of with her and with me a lot of the same ways. And one of the ways he deals with both of us at different times is we just get these titles. And you know, our pastor over here, oftentimes he'll sing an oldie song or whatever. And he knows different oldie songs than I know. The oldie songs that I know are usually hymns or country. Country Western stuff. So the other morning, as I was praying about, Pastor said, would you do Wednesday night? And I came downstairs, I'm sitting on the couch, and this phrase just rose up. I believe it was in my heart. It could have been out of my head, but it's a good title anyway. And this is the title for tonight's sermon. Don't fence me in. Now, some of you are looking at me a little bewildered. You had to probably grow up in the same time that I grew up, and maybe around people that were country. How many of you have ever heard of Gene Autry? Yeah. Oh, good. I got some folks in here. Well, Gene Autry sang this song. You can find it on YouTube. And it is called Don't Fence Me In. And part of, if I could sing, I'd sing it to you. But one of the phrases is, oh, give me land, lots of land under the starry skies above. Don't fence me in. That's the chorus. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me in. You got to be on a horse when you're singing it. That's why I wore my little cowboy fringe. Anyway, I grew up hearing my dad love that song. But it does speak to us. And I do have a point about singing, don't fence me in. Anyway, as believers, Jesus has set us free. He's removed all barriers and all boundaries. He doesn't want us fenced in or limited by stinking thinking, by wrong words spoken over us, or even like a low self-image. We aren't the people who we were before we got born again. We think differently now, or we should. God created us to soar. He took the limits off of us. And to use another farmer illustration, 'cause that's who I is, folks. You can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl. So many of you have heard this illustration, but he created us to soar. We are eagles. We are not chickens.
That's right.
There was this farmer that he was out one day, and he was up on a high hill in his farm, and he saw this lowly eagle's egg, and it had fallen out of the nest. So he thought, well, I have a setting hen. Do you know what a setting hen is? A setting hen is a hen that's got eggs under it, setting on the eggs, and there's going to be baby chickens. So he took that eagle egg, and he put it under the setting hen. And in the process of time, the chickens hatched, and so did the eagle. Well, that eagle was hanging out with chickens, so it thought it was a chicken. But every once in a while, it would look up in the sky and it'd see this beautiful eagle soaring up ever so high. And he would look up and he'd think, that's majestic. I wish I could do that. But then he'd look around, but I'm a chicken. I just got to scratch around in the barnyard looking for worms. That's my destiny. I'm a chicken. But by and by, one day, a major storm was blowing in. Probably Oklahoma, for sure. Got a lot of storms and tornadoes. Something was blowing in. So the chickens, they all ran to the hen house. But there was something instinctively in this eagle that made it hop up on a fence post. And it just by instinct put its big wings out. And the wind caught the wings. Oh, yeah. And he began to soar. Yeah. Lifted him up higher and higher above the storm. And he had a revelation. I'm not a chicken. I'm an eagle. I was born to soar. Many believers need that same revelation. We're not chickens. We're eagles. We're not to be confined to the barnyard digging around for worms. We were created to excel. We were created to soar on the high places with him. Amen. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to set the captives free. He came to deliver those that were bound and in chains. And I want to point out a scripture that I love over. I love the book of John. But John 17, he's praying for us. His children, for his church. And he knew that it was about time for him to depart this earth. And this is a beautiful, powerful prayer, this entire chapter that he prayed. But I want to look at verse 14 in John 17. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. Jumping down to verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then verse 14 out of the message. They, his followers, are no more defined by the world than I'm defined by the world. So I looked up that word defined. I like to look up definitions, and I like this. Defined literally means to fix or mark the limits of. Marked by boundaries. Jesus was saying we shouldn't be marked by the world's boundaries or limits. The world system will attempt to put you in a box. They'll attempt to fence you in. Has anyone ever been told, you can't accomplish that goal? You'll never be able to do that. You'll not go to that level. Your vision is too big. It'll never come to pass. You know what our reply ought to be when people tell us that, say those things about us? Don't fence me in. Amen? We are not limited by our natural abilities or resources. We have divine, supernatural help that is out of this world. Stop allowing yourself to be restricted, to be confined. Listening to the naysayers that say you'll never, you aren't smart enough, you aren't educated enough, you aren't good looking enough, you don't have this, you don't have that, you wouldn't, you couldn't, you shouldn't, and you won't. Don't even try. You can't. Well, you know what? According to the Bible, we can. Yes. Success comes in cans. Hallelujah. Anybody ever heard of this passage? Philippians 4:13 out of the Amplified. I have strength for what? All things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything. I'm equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. A lot of people think they're a self-made man or a self-made person. No, our ability is not in who we are, but we are sufficient in Him. Hallelujah. We tap into His sufficiency and His ability. He strengthens and He empowers us. And because of who's in us, we are, I love how that says, equal to anything. And we're ready for anything. There's nothing that the devil throws our way that we're not going to come out more than conquerors. Yes. If we stand our ground and we believe and confess the word of God. Pastor Nancy said it last week. He has made us more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We're not getting fenced in. We're not limited by what the world may say to us. There are no limits to those who will believe His word. Who will faith. This is what faith does. Faith sees beyond the current reality of what we're looking at in the natural. And faith speaks what God says. Our God is limitless. Nothing is too difficult for Him. But oftentimes, we're the ones that we put the limitations on God. We may not ever say that, but we act that way. Like, oh, this is so huge. I don't know if God can do this or God can do that. Folks, He is a limitless God. And we don't have to know the how. We know the who. We know in whom we have believed. He's got ways. He's got means that we don't know about. Hallelujah. So we're not going to limit Him. He's not happy when that happens. Think about the children of Israel. And He's trying to, I'm preaching so hard, I'm, thank you. Knock the water off of its stand, out of its fence. Anyway, it didn't want to be limited. So the children of Israel, God's already told them they're going into the promised land. And He was not happy when they limited Him. In Psalm 78, verse 40 and 41. How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and they grieved Him in the desert. Verse 41. Yes, again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's not an outstanding testimony. That they had to stand up and say, yep, we're the ones. We grieved God. We limited Him. We provoked Him. We tempted Him to destroy us. We limited Him over and over. I wouldn't want to have that testimony. But we can't point fingers at them because we do it. Ourselves, many times. We look at situations and say, it's impossible. You know, it's never impossible. All things are possible to him that believeth. There are no impossibilities with our God. Amen? Yes. But that's what they did. How did they limit Him? Well, verse 42 tells us this. They did not remember His power. The day when He redeemed them from the enemy, when He worked signs in Egypt and His wonders in the field of Zion, they did not remember. I think that's why the psalmist wrote Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. They had a track record of forgetting. I mean, one day He's splitting the Red Sea. They're walking across on dry land. And just a few days later, they're whining and saying, we don't have any water. We're going to die of thirst in the wilderness. I mean, God had just split the Red Sea. And they don't think that He can make a spring for them to drink out of. They didn't. They limited Him over and over. He provided manna for them. And they started complaining. We're sick and tired of manna, you know. But so God said, stop limiting me. Limitations are not good in our thinking, in our heart. Some of the definitions of limitations are these: boundaries, restrictions, restraints. And think about this with the children of Israel. They're getting ready. They finally got, after 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness, they get to the edge of the promised land. You can read the account in Numbers 13 and 14. And God told them, this is your land. You think they would have learned from their parents, for heaven's sake? They had didn't believe God, and they had to live in the wilderness for 40 years. And now here they are on the edge of the promised land, about to go in. And Moses sent out 12 spies, one from each tribe. And in Numbers 13, let's look at verse 27 in the NLT. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent out, sent us to explore, and it is indeed, oh, it's a beautiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey, and here's the kind of fruit that it produces. The fruit was so huge, the Bible says one grape, one cluster of grape, they had to put it on poles between two men. That's bigger than anything you're going to see at Sprouts, I'm telling you right now. This was a huge cluster of grapes. But they didn't stop there. 12 spies went into the land, and 10 of them said this. Oh, verse 28. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Yes, they said, the land is awesome, but when you see but in the Bible, you need to see what it's in there for. There's two sides to this but. And this one was, they were on the wrong side of the but. They were in doubt, fear, and unbelief. The descendants of Anak. Oh, no, not them. I mean, and then what did the people say? God never said it. They said, oh, they're giants there, and we're grasshoppers. What in the world? God never called them a grasshopper, but that's what they called themselves. That was their mindset. Those limits in their thinking. You know, in our thinking, these limits come from either fear. They come from comparison. Oh, I don't think I can do what that person did. They come from past failures. I tried that before and it didn't work. Or they come from negative voices, things that people have spoken over us, trying to shake and rattle our confidence and our steadfastness that we can accomplish what God told us to do. The children of Israel yielded to all of those. But there was an other side of the but, and it's found in verse 30. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as he stood before Moses. Let's go up at once to take the land, he said. We can surely conquer it. Hallelujah. One translation says, we are well able to take it. Glory to God. 10 spies had an evil report, but Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They had the spirit of faith. They were on the right side. Hallelujah. And because of it, they were able to go in to the promised land. Nobody else in that generation entered in, but those two were able to go because they said, our God is able. They didn't let the majority stinking thinking fence them in. They spread out and believed the Lord. Amen. That is the Father's desire for us to see as he sees. And you know, I need to correct that, because this was before they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They got right up to the edge and they were about to go in, but unbelief kept them out. This wasn't their kids, this was them. And the only two from that entire generation that did go in and weren't fenced in were Joshua and Caleb. The Father desires for us to see as He sees. He wants us to reach further, to go higher, to stop hitting the ceiling in our thinking and in our believing. In 2019, President George H.W. Bush, the senior one, passed away. And his son, George Bush, was giving the eulogy. And it so spoke to me that I made a note and I wrote this down. And what he shared was this, a lot of things, but one of the things he shared is his father had a plaque on the corner of their home in Maine overlooking the ocean. And it just had these words down like these initials, C-A-V-U. And everyone that would come to visit would ask about that plaque. What does C-A-V-U stand for? Yeah. Well, President Bush Sr. had been a pilot in World War II. He was actually the youngest pilot at that time that had ever flown these planes. I don't remember. I looked it up, but he flew many, many missions. He was even shot down one time, but he was rescued. And this, the C-A-V-U, he would explain, is a term that pilots wanted to hear when they were ready to take off. Those B, whatever they were, World War II fighters, they didn't have instrument rated, and they wanted to hear C-A-V-U before they took off. Any of you want to know what it means?
Yes.
C, ceiling and visibility unlimited. Ceiling and visibility unlimited. So President George Bush said that was not just a term his dad used or heard when he was flying planes in World War II. He said it's how he lived. He didn't accept ceilings or boundaries. He always had a large vision, and he believed possibilities were unlimited. Amen. In life. As believers, we ought to adopt that motto. That's how we should live. C-A-V-U, ceiling and visibility unlimited. Don't fence me in and don't put a ceiling on top of me and say I can't go any higher than that. There are no limits in God. There are no ceilings in God. He said we can do whatever we believe Him for. Amen. That's a word that God is saying to us tonight. There are no limits in me. Hallelujah. There's no end to my goodness, my greatness, my power, my ability, my love, my might. You can go as high as you can see. You can reach as far as where your faith will take you. Amen. And remember this again, we have help from heaven. Amen. We have divine supernatural ability made available to us. We don't have to walk in this life figuring things out on our own. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit? He's our teacher. He's our guide. He gives us wisdom. He gives us insight from where? From above. And He puts it right down here in our spirit. And as we pray in tongues, we can draw that wisdom up and it becomes fruitful to our minds. Amen. And as we're walking in this life, never ever exclude the fact that we have a heavenly underwriter. Amen. And never factor out the favor factor. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms 5:12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him with a shield. Glory to God. And Psalms 115 verse 12 through 14 in the Amplified. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Hernandez. Hallelujah. He will bless those who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, both small and great. Now look at is verse 14. Put it up there and read that with me. May the Lord give you what? Increase more and more, you and your children. Hallelujah. Give them some glory right now. Derive encouragement from that. He is the God of the increase. Glory to God. And not just you, you and your children. Claim that over your household. Claim that over your seed. God's going to increase them more and more. Hallelujah. The favor of God. It increased. Listen to these definitions. Enlarge, expand, extend, magnify, multiply, and amplify. Yes. I want to center in. I want to tell you a story how the favor of God will amplify us. It will cause us not to be fenced in. Hallelujah. And not limited by what man tries to do to us. So there was this good Christian man. And I heard this from a very reliable source a few years ago. A good Christian man who worked at a company for many years. Unfortunately, he had a very ungodly supervisor that didn't like him because he was a Christian. And there would come these promotions and he would just get passed over time and time again. He was so tempted to quit. And he would pray and he kept hearing these words in his spirit, hold steady. So he did. He obeyed. He held steady. Well, in a process of time, the owner of the company asked this Christian man to work directly with him and his team on a special project. Well, he did a wonderful job, and actually the owner took note of how well he did. He didn't say anything to him, but he took note. And a little bit later, a management position came up high up in the company. And the owner of the company passed over the ungodly. That's just me. Sorry. The owner of the company passed over the ungodly supervisor and he gave the Christian the high up position. And just like that, the Christian man had been amplified to the owner of the company. Just like that, he became the boss of the man who had tried to keep him down. Woo! Can't fence me in. Hallelujah! God amplified him. Hallelujah! And promoted him. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, I have just one more scripture here. Sunday is Vision Sunday. Vision Sunday for the church. Vision Sunday for our personal lives. And I really feel that all of us need to be, like Pastor said, we'll be spending some time praying. But I have this word. It is time to remove the limitations. Enlarge, stretch, lengthen, and strengthen. If we're not stretching and growing, we become stagnant. Let me read you this one last scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2 and 3 out of the Amplified. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be what? Stretched out. We're doing Isaiah 54. I skipped some verses up there. So we're in Isaiah 54, verse 2 through 3 in the Amplified. Can you get that on the screen? Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. There we go. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. HBC has put a stake in the ground here in Hayward. Amen. We're growing. We're stretching, we're reaching, and there's places to go in God. And God is always into expansion. He wants us to think bigger, pray bolder, and expect more. Verse 3 of this same chapter says this, "For you will spread abroad to the right hand and to the left. And your offspring will possess the nations and make the desolate cities be inhabited." Hallelujah. Not just us. Our offspring are going to be blessed. They're going to rule and reign in life. Possess the nations. Dry cities becoming watered with the rain of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, let it rain. Amen. Holy Spirit, stretch us. Stretch us on the inside. Stretch us in our thinking. Hallelujah. Enlarge our capacity to receive and believe you anymore, more and more. So I want to encourage all of us to spend time magnifying God, removing the limitations. See with eyes of faith. See it. And seize it. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You receive that word? Hallelujah. I want to ask everybody to stand. Praise the Lord as PT comes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for stretching us, helping us, Holy Spirit, to take any limitations off of you. We thank you that you are an unlimited God. Now I have this declaration and I want to ask you, I just think it's important that the word be confirmed. Do y'all believe that? So as I was praying this afternoon, I just like to do this. I don't know if it's because I spent a lot of time at the altar as a kid, I suppose. But I think it's important when God has spoken to us that we can make a movement physically representing the movement that is happening on the inside. So God, He's not holding us back. He's calling us forward. So I want to ask you, and I'm not going to lay hands on you. It's not going to be weird. It's not going to be long. But just come to the front and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm taking a step. And this step that I'm taking in the natural represents I'm taking a step. I'm stepping out of the fence. I'm stepping out of any boundaries or any limitations." Once you get up here, I'm going to lead you in this confession that came to me today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we're going to just spend a moment just praying. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see these precious ones coming, Lord. They're coming as an act of faith. And in your hearts, I know every one of you, you're saying that. I'm taking the limits off. Increase me, Lord. Increase my expectation. Hallelujah. Everybody up here that's coming, thank you, Lord Jesus. So this is what I want you to declare. Raise one hand toward heaven and agree with this in your heart. Say this: I break every limit that's been placed on my life by fear, by people, by the past. I step into overflow, into expansion, into abundance. I am walking in what God has already prepared for me. No more limits. No limits in my mind. No limits in my faith. No limits in my calling. No limits in my future. My future is bright. And I'm stepping into the fullness of the plan of God for my life. In Jesus' name, amen.